I wanna do what you ask me to. I wanna go wherever you say. Just say the word and I'll obey. I wanna live a life that's real. I wanna serve you, Lord, for real. For you deserve all this and more. So I give you more. More. I give you more. More.
Let me sing that again.
I want to give my best to you. I want to do what you ask me to. I want to go wherever you say. Just say the word and I'll obey. I want to live a life that's real. I want to serve you, Lord, for real. For you deserve all this and more. So I give you more. More. I give you more. More.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for that anointed singing. Amen. Well, let's stand to our feet and we're going to turn in the book of Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7. We're going to read tonight. And while we're doing that, how many of us are remembering to read our chapter in Proverbs? How many of us are not? See, isn't that amazing? 30% raises their hand and says they are. And no one raises their hand and says they're not. That's on every time I take a vote. So are you not here? If you're here, say, I'm here. If you're too embarrassed to answer, say, that's me. There we go. We got two more of them on that one. So let's remember, today's what? Today's the what? Today's. So we should have read chapter 12, right, in the book of Proverbs. And this is our month of intimacy in the wisdom of God. to get the wisdom of the Lord on the inside of us, to study His book of wisdom. Of course, all of the Bible is full of wisdom, but the Lord just sort of condensed it right there in the book of Proverbs. You know, the word of the Lord talks about wisdom, person, and wisdom says, I was with God when He created heavens and the earth. I was with God when He formed man out of the ground. I was with God, and just goes on and on talking about wisdom. And if God needed wisdom to be with Him and all that He did, and we know because He created this world in His wisdom and all the things that He created it in His wisdom, then how much more do you and I need the wisdom of God to help us in our everyday life? Amen? Man, so if you haven't been doing this, naughty, naughty, and start tonight, finish it up tomorrow. You got 12 chapters to catch up on. Let's read the Word of God. Let's read the book of Proverbs. And we're trying to read it in such a pace, which is why we're only doing one chapter a day, as to be able to think about it and apply it to my life. Have you found nuggets in the book of Proverbs? Have you found things that you said, Lord, I need to apply that to my life? Or maybe you found that you have been applying certain things in your life and it has been such a help. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Tell your neighbor, I don't want to be a fool. I want to have the fear of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord, and heed to His instruction. Put them in my life. I'm here to tell you from the very beginning of this teaching tonight, that is, if we would put the instructions of the Lord in our life, we would save ourselves a lot of heartache and pain, a lot of trouble, a lot of trouble. Come on, I know I counsel you. You'd save yourself a lot of trouble. You just put this book in your heart and get a hold of these teachings and Proverbs and apply them to your life. Father, help us in the next few minutes tonight. Lord Jesus, we pray to understand Your Word better. Let the wisdom and the knowledge of God be placed on the inside of our heart, in our mind, in our thinking. Oh, Father, let it become second nature to us, Lord, to go to Your Word, to seek Your direction in so many things, God, that we have not been seeking You for. Help us to begin to seek Your face, Lord Jesus, to understand Your ways. You will lead us. You will guide us. You are concerned about us. Everything in our life, You are concerned about us. Oh, help us to seek the wisdom of God. And everybody say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Clap your hands to the Lord. Give God praise. Wonderful God that we serve. Last Wednesday, we spent a few minutes talking about the reason why the book of Proverbs was written. The very book itself tells us this through verses 1 through 5. And we broke down those verses a little and we tried to learn. We find out in our study that the purpose of Proverbs, according to the book of Proverbs itself, was so that we could know wisdom, that we could get to know wisdom. And the word of the Lord refers to wisdom, as I said, as a third person or as a person and as she. And we know that it's not a person embodied or another God or anything like that. But I think it's the word's way of trying to show us that we can have a relationship with wisdom. That wisdom can follow us and we can speak with wisdom. And wisdom can become a part of us. So Proverbs was written that we might know wisdom, that we might perceive words of understanding. I don't know about you, but many times I become frustrated because I'll be dealing with something and I know that if I just had more knowledge on the subject, I could make better decisions concerning what it is that I might be looking into. But my knowledge is limited. And so the book of Proverbs is written that we might know wisdom, perceive understanding, gain knowledge in our everyday practical living on this earth. It went on to tell us to receive instruction. So not only does Proverbs teach us wisdom and understanding, but it teaches us how to receive instruction into our life and how to learn justice and judgment and equity in our life, to give prudence to the young, to the simple, and to the young man, knowledge and discretion. And so when we look at these powerful reasons why the book of Proverbs was written, it should awaken us a little to get the understanding, to gain the understanding of why we need to get the word into our heart. And some of y'all are thinking, Pastor needs to get a little of that word and learn how to pronounce them words. I see you out there. But that's just how we say them in Louisiana, folks. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. And when we say them, we know exactly what we're talking about. So y'all just follow along. And my daughter thought I was all alone till she met another Cajun. And found out that he said the words the same way I said them. And then had a Cajun friend in college. And they got to talking and found out that their dad was the same way. So, hallelujah anyhow. Gain a little knowledge and a little wisdom and you'll be all right. And finally, to increase learning. Say, I need to increase my learning. I need to increase my understanding. And so it is to increase learning for a wise man and to give counsel to a man of understanding. So Proverbs is a powerful book. And I believe that for nearly everything that we face in our daily lives, we can find instruction in the Word of God. And probably find it right here in the book of Proverbs. But Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 adds a little something to this gaining of wisdom and this gaining of knowledge. And he says, it is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, or interchangeable here is wisdom, and we know that by other scriptures. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So if I am going to gain this wisdom, if I'm going to acquire this wisdom, there has to be a fear, a reverence inside of me for God. If someone comes up to you to give you instruction, but you have no respect for them, they're not going to be able to get very far with you in giving you instruction. They may be right, but if you do not respect them, you will probably not receive their instruction. And so the wisest man that ever lived is telling us today that if we are going to receive the wisdom of God, we must learn to respect His judgment. But He is also saying, if we turn the coin just a little bit, for those of us who refuse to follow the wisdom of God and refuse to apply the knowledge of God to our life, and we continue to go about our way in our rudeness, in our arrogance, in our self-righteousness, and to believe that we have our own knowledge and understanding of things, we are showing that we do not have a reverence or a fear or a respect of God. If I respect God, I'm going to get into His Word and I'm going to learn His Word. If I really believe He's a God of omnipotence and omnipresence and omniscience, if I really believe these things, that He's all knowing and He's all wisdom and all knowledge, then I'm going to get in His book and I'm going to learn of His wisdom and I'm going to learn of His knowledge and I'm going to apply it to my life. Amen. 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 Praise God. So I'm afraid that sometimes our actions speak louder than our words. And we say that we trust Him. And we say that He's all wisdom and all knowledge, but our actions speak louder. Holy Ghost tries to penetrate into our heart, but our hardened hearts and our seared minds and our made up minds, if you please, our stubbornness, and we continue down our path only to pay the penalty, to have to come back and do it God's way. He's not a God that says, "I told you so." But He is a God that will reprimand every once in a while to try to get us to follow His ways and His instruction. So, the fear of the Lord, the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. This word fear here, pronounced yara, or however you want to pronounce it, in the Old Testament writings, is the common word for three different ways in which it's used. One of them is dread or terror, to literally be afraid of something. Deuteronomy 1:29 and John 1:10 uses the word this way when it speaks of having a fear of an enemy. A fear of someone who can harm you, conquer you, or put you in bondage. The second way is a fear or a respect, as in standing in awe of something, respecting it because it appears to be so much greater than you. This word is used in 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 28, when the Bible talks about them standing and hearing the wisdom of Solomon. And men feared him. They respected him. They stood in awe of him because of his wisdom. And thirdly, it's just the simple word to reverend or to respect. As in Leviticus chapter 19, in verse number 3. And other verses in the Bible where the word tells us to honor one another, revere one another, respect one another, to fear one another. So we notice that when God descends upon Mount Sinai, the Bible says the ground trembled, lightnings flashed, and thunder sounded, everything grew dark. And the word tells us that the people here feared God. And they said to Moses, you talk to God and then you talk to us, but we don't want to talk to God. The Lord does not want us to fear him this way. He does not want you to be afraid of him. He wants you to understand that you can approach him no matter what your situation is, no matter what the condition is, no matter what you have done. He is a God of love. He is a God of mercy. He is a God of understanding. And he does not want us to tremble at him in fear that he will harm us. But we do need to learn to respect him and to honor him and to love him and to understand that his ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. Higher than the sky is above the ground. Further than the stars, which we cannot reach, is the wisdom of God above ours. And we need to respect that so that we will desire the wisdom of God in our life. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so we understand that there is to be a reverence of God. There is a place of fear in our life with the Lord that we walk in respect and we walk in reverence of him. You know, I try to remind myself often that there is an angel with me everywhere that I go. He hears every word I say. Now, he can't read my mind, but he can sure read my actions. And so I try to remind myself on the things I do and the places I go and the words I say and the actions with my hand that there is an angelic being that has never understood the power of redemption. He is perfect in the sight of God. He doesn't know what it means to be redeemed. The Bible says they look into it. They inquire of the redemption of man. And I do not want to bring confusion to him because he is a perfect being in perfect obedience to his God. And he is with me continuously. And it has got to confuse him from time to time how we can so readily and so easily go against the wisdom of God. However, not only is there an angelic being with me, probably four or five with me because I'm a lot of trouble, but not only are there angels, but God never leaves me. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll always be with you. He said, to the end of the world, I'm going to be with you. God goes a little further than that angel. God knows every thought that goes into this mind. He even knows the very intent of my heart.
And we need to get into a place where we so reverence God that we learn to control our thoughts of evil and unrighteousness and bring our imaginations into captivity and subject them unto the Spirit of God. We need to have a reverence about us that we watch our tongues and our actions, because God is with us. And if we know He's with us all the time, then why do we hesitate to turn and ask for advice, to turn to Him and ask, Jesus, what would you have me to do concerning this situation? And when you have a problem, you have a dilemma, you have a desire, you have a need, go to your needs. He is there. Seek His wisdom. Seek His instruction. He will help you. Seek His knowledge. He'll open doors you cannot open. He'll close doors and you'll never open them. He will direct you. He'll put a light in your path. He'll show you the way in which you should go.
Bible says that the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. And we know what lamps and lights does. You walk into a dark room and the light won't come on. You send your son or your daughter for the flashlight. Why? I do not know. Because they never work. One of your kids had that flashlight, turned that thing on to play under the covers, to look under the bed, look in the closet for monsters, and then laid it down on the top of the dresser and left it on to go to bed too. And wonder who turned it off in the middle of the night. Nobody. The batteries died. And they bring you that flashlight, you turn it on, and then you really get frustrated. Why? Because you know if your path is going to be lit, you've got to have that light. And God is trying to get us to understand that we walk in a dark world. We walk in a grossly dark world. And we'll bump into walls everywhere as we go. But if we'll take the Word of God and use the wisdom and the knowledge of God, it will become a light to our path. We'll be able to see where to go, how to operate, how to handle situations, how to handle your brother and sister, how to handle your job. My Lord, have mercy. How to do things in this world practically. The Holy Ghost and the Word of God will help us. Praise God. We look into the Word of the Lord and we find that the fear of the Lord, it extends. That from the book of Proverbs, we learn concerning what the fear of the Lord is. Proverbs 1 and 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or wisdom. Proverbs 8 and 13. The fear of the Lord will cause you to hate evil. Because when you're walking around and you're respecting God, and you understand that He's there with you, and you have reverence to Him, you're going to behave yourself. You're going to act a certain way. Oh, listen, we would do it if there was someone important with us. If one of the senators or congressmen or president or somebody, some business owner, some
person that we deem to be important, you would behave yourself. You would try to think, which spoon do I pick up first? Do I use the fork on the right or the one on the left? And I don't even know if they got one on both sides. But and you try to do your manners right. And you hold your pinky out when you put the bowl up and drink the soup out of the bowl. And I'm not even sure that's right, but we do it in Louisiana. And so, but you try to behave yourself as much as you can and be dignified. Why? You don't want to look like a fool. You don't want to look like an unlearned, unknowledgeable individual. How much more do we need to behave ourselves in the presence of God when He's the one that gives us the knowledge? He's the one that gives us the wisdom. And if we don't know at the time, we can ask Him. Or we can go to His Word. And we can read it. I wish I could get this in our hearts and in our spirits to understand just how much Proverbs will help us handle ourselves in everyday practical living. If we as a church truly applied the book of Proverbs to our life, it would first change our lives forever. And then we would change our city forever. Just in our behavior. You would change your workplace, your marketplace, your neighborhood, your family. Everything would change if we would learn to behave according to the Word of God.
Amen. Praise God.
And so wisdom will cause us to hate evil. Proverbs 14, 26 and 27. Wisdom provides strong confidence. It will make you confident. If you know that God has put something in your heart, and even though it goes against everything that everyone believes, everybody's voting yes and you vote no. Or everybody's voting no and you vote yes. But you do it with confidence because God put it in your heart. And you know that every man, let every man be a liar. But God is true. And if God put this in my heart, then I can stand in confidence. I can go against the crowd. I can buck up against the popular way. I can come up against it, and I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm not going to tuck my head. Why? Because the wisdom of God has told me this is the way. And let me tell you something. The Bible says that the children of wisdom are justified. It will justify you. In the end, they will know you were right. Because God is right. Praise the Lord. Amen. Just a few more minutes. Everybody say wisdom. Say, I've got to have the fear of the Lord. The respect of the Lord. To reverend Him. Respect Him. Fear Him. For some of us, it probably wouldn't hurt to tremble a little. Provide strong confidence. Proverbs 16 and 6. Wisdom will prompt you to depart from evil. You can be in the middle of something, doing something, and wisdom will come to you and say, don't do this. Get out of this. But Lord, it's so popular. Back off. It's not what you think it is. Get out of it while you still have time. You might have been applying yourself to something, and the Lord will come and say, wisdom of God will come and say, there's evil in this. You can't see it,
but it's there. You need to back off. You need to get out. You need to leave it alone. You might be trying to join up in a business venture and everything looks good, but the Lord, the Holy Ghost will come and say, this will come to naught. You need to get out. It's going to come to evil. It's not something you need to be a part of. The wisdom of God will come and give you things and impart stuff into your thinking and your heart that nobody else has access to. That's why God's kids look like the odd one out most of the time. But it's because we've got an insight. We have an inner wisdom that helps us and teaches us. And we learn this from the word of the Lord. Let's continue here. Proverbs 19 and 23. This is what the fear of the Lord will do for you. It leads to a satisfying life. And so the fear of God, the respect of God, which brings wisdom into your life, will give you a satisfying life. Sister Walcott, I don't mean to bring this up, but I just want to use Brother Walcott if that's okay. I know he's with Jesus. But I know the Lord took him soon. But let me tell you something. He had a satisfying life. And if you don't believe that, you should have sat down with him for about 3 minutes and find out just how satisfied he was. Loved his wife, loved his children, loved his God. Felt like the Lord had given him a good hand, not a bad hand. Wisdom will do that for you. Wisdom will give you that power. The fear of the Lord will give you that understanding. So it will bring to us a satisfying life. You might be poor and living in conditions that are below poverty, but God, the wisdom of God, can bring you a satisfying heart and spirit and mind on the inside. You might find yourself sick in body, but God can satisfy. You might be going through different things in life, but the fear and the respect of God will bring a satisfying to you. Why? Because the wisdom of God will come and the Lord will let you know, I've got everything under control. I've got your life in my hands. Trust me and love me. It's going to be all right. What's going on? It's best. I'm going to bring you through. Everything's going to be okay. You're going to get out of this and you're going to be better when you come out than you were when you went in. And only the wisdom of God can do that. We lack the wisdom, we worry, we fear, we tremble, we're concerned all the time, we're preoccupied, we're overwhelmed with the things of life. But when the wisdom of God is in us, it brings a peace to us. And so we flip that around and we find out that without the fear of God, without the respect of God, and I just have a few more minutes and we'll be done here this evening, we deprive ourselves of the treasures of God's wisdom. We have got to learn to fear and respect God, to have an understanding that He is around us at all times. And there is no closet dark enough to hide from God. You can't shut enough windows. You can't turn off enough lights. You can't get deep. You can't go into the furthest corner far enough. David said, if I make my bed in hell, God, you're there. If I find myself in heaven, you're there. No matter where I'm at, God, there you are. And the Lord is with us. We rob ourselves of His wisdom if we lose respect and we lose the fear of God and the recognition that God is with us. At all times, we will lose this wisdom and knowledge. When we do not fear the Lord, we will flirt with evil and we will become corrupt with it. You know, as a little brat growing up, I can remember doing things I wasn't supposed to do. But when mom or dad would show up, you'd quickly try to hide whatever it was. Sometimes you get caught, sometimes you didn't. But I'd never just sit down and blatantly do it right there in front of them. I had too much fear of dad's belt or mom's switch from the branch. I might have been a bad brat, but I wasn't stupid. But we must be pretty dumb when it comes to God, because we do it right in front of Him every time. We make the choice of evil every time. We submit ourselves to temptation right there before God every time. He's there every time, always. And you say, but it overwhelmed me. The fear and respect of God. If we can learn to reach out to His wisdom and get a hold of His knowledge. Remember, listen to me. God understands your nature. He walked in the flesh. He was tempted in every like manner, yet He sinned not. But He understands the power of temptation, and He has the answer to it. He knows the way out. He's got the key to the door. You don't have to be locked up in it. You don't have to be bound by it. God can bring freedom to you. He can give liberty to your soul. He will set you free if you will incorporate the wisdom of God into your heart and get in that word. He will help you. And if you will have that fear and reverence of Him and recognize that He is there, He is there. It will help you. And so without the fear of God, you will flirt with evil. You will be corrupted by it. Without the fear of God, we will refuse to heed His word. And we will not come to know the love of God that gives us the assurance and the confidence of our salvation. Without the fear of God, when we fall into sin, we will not be motivated to repent. Let me tell you, when you lose the reverence and the fear of God, you begin to believe that there are no consequences to your sin. Because God doesn't act upon your disobedience immediately. You think you got away with something. You think you pull the hoodwink, however they say that, over God or whatever. You did it and God wasn't looking. Your angel had his back to you for a moment doing something else, and you got away with it because there were no consequences. The Lord says because they don't come doesn't mean they're right away, doesn't mean that they're not on their way. And know you not, the Bible makes it very plain to us. He lets us know that we will reap what we sow. And without the fear of God, there'll be nothing pushing you to repent. I thank God for the fear of God in my life. I'm so thankful for the reverence of God in my life. That when I do something wrong, I'm swift to fall upon my face and ask His forgiveness. Because I know He's right there with me. I know He understands, but it doesn't mean I need to abuse His mercy. If I fall to temptation, I need to cry out to Him. I need to repent of my sin and let the fear of God work in my life and the wisdom of God work in my life. And you say amen. The fear of the Lord should be something that is regarded and sought after very highly. It should be a trait of our life in which we endeavor to develop. That every day of my life, I have an understanding that God is with me. And His wisdom is readily available to me whenever I need it. Beauty about serving God and having the fear and reverence of God and desiring His wisdom. The beauty about that is that the Lord can import things into your heart that you could never learn in 100 lifetimes. God can give you wisdom that you could never study or find in books. He's the eternal God. He'll put wisdom down on the inside of you that no man will ever comprehend. But God will become a light to your path. He'll become a lamp to your feet. And He'll lead you and He'll guide you. The wisdom of God will and can save your marriage. It will and can save your children and the relationship
between you and your children. It can and will repair relationships between you and your brother or sister, your co-worker or your boss or whoever it may be. God will teach you how to act and react in every situation of your life if you'll get the wisdom of God in your heart. The fear of the Lord serves as the beginning or the principal part of becoming truly wise in God. We must have the fear of God, and we must have the respect of God. And so we look into the word of the Lord, and we find that the second half of this verse, because the first half it said that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, or the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, or the beginning of knowledge. But the second half of that verse talks about the way of the fool or of folly. Let me read it here. It says, "But fools despise wisdom and instruction." And so the Hebrew word here for evil or fool refers to a person who is characterized by moral flaws. So the Bible is focusing in on our morality, that you can tell if a person has refused the wisdom of God. They live in moral lifestyles. Because the wisdom of God will protect you and help you. And it will keep you from all kinds of things that can harm your body, including diseases that can come into your body through immoral lifestyles. I think it was just signs that were up. And it was at one of the political persuasions, I'll let you figure it out. And there were different groups of homosexuals. I don't mean to offend today, we love everyone, but homosexuality is a sin, and it is immoral, and it is an abomination to God. And don't ever forget it. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, but anyway, they were holding signs up. And it was two men, and it said, "We are lovers, and we are learning to live with AIDS." And it came across my mind that if you would accept the wisdom of God, you wouldn't have to learn to live with AIDS. You could learn to live with the peace of God and the love of God and the goodness of God and the things that God gives man and what he has originally designed. And so men that refuse the wisdom of God, they find themselves in lives of immorality. That word fool there in the verse, the second half of that verse, it actually means evil. It could read, "But evil," or "evil ones despise wisdom and instructions." The word is an adjective. It means to be foolish in the sense of one who hates wisdom and walks in folly and despises the wisdom and morality teaching of God. And so this foolish disdainness for the wisdom of God, we find expressed in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22, Proverbs 17, verse 16, Proverbs 18, and verse 2. "For to despise the wisdom of God," the Bible tells us, "is to be truly foolish." To disregard instruction is what that word means. Not to be interested in wisdom at all. They are unwilling to heed to the counsel of others. More specifically, to the counsel of God, as expressed by the voice of wisdom itself in Proverbs 1 and 25 and in verse 30, where the fools will not heed to the wisdom of God. These are people who have lack of counsel, who do not seek counsel or desire to be counseled. They are independent, self-reliant, do not need God, His instruction, or His wisdom. We, as the children of the Lord, need to be careful that we do not find ourselves as one of these. And the only way that you can do this is to walk in the fear of God, to honor Him, to respect Him. What does that mean? That means if I don't understand His commandment, I obey it anyway. That if His commandment comes against my flesh, it doesn't matter. I honor Him. I respect Him. I know that He knows better than I know. He knows what's right for me. He knows what's good for me. And if obeying the Word of God means I lose the promotion, I would rather walk in the wisdom of God with less money than walk in the folly of fools and be wealthy. For only the wisdom of God can bring true riches to me and to you. Let's stand, if you will. Proverbs 12 and 15 says this: only the fool listens to his own heart, but wisdom and delight can be attained through the counsel of others. So we conclude tonight on this part two of wisdom. And of course, we'll never, ever be able to go through Proverbs, of course, but all of it, at least not in these few sessions. But we conclude tonight, we learned about why Proverbs was written, and that God wants to give us wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Those who are already wise, He wants to increase. Those with understanding, He wants to give counsel. Proverbs was written to do these things. But we understand that if we do not walk in the respect and the fear of God, then we cannot receive the wisdom of God. But we will be like the fools of the world, self-confident, self-reliant, self-motivated, in the essence that our path is better than God's path. My way is a better choice than God's way. It's a difficult thing sometimes to go God's way and to accept the wisdom of God into our life, because many times, at least initially, it looks like with God, we're going backwards. He's taking me away from my ambitions, away from my goals. That's because God has such higher expectations for you. And He's got to back you up because you took a left when you should have took a right. And so God just, He doesn't just make a new path. He backs you up. Why? Because there's things you have to learn, experiences you have to have, and He needs you to go down that path to put these things in your heart. So we're going to pray together tonight. And our prayer tonight is going to be asking the Lord to help us to walk in our daily life with a fear, admonition, a respect, a reverence for His presence, that He is indeed with me and He's watching everything, and that fear of the Lord will help me to depart from evil. It will help me choose the way of righteousness, and in the things that I do not understand, and when I go to make a choice, and it might be the wrong choice, but it's because I just don't know what the right choice is. If I have a fear and a respect of God, and I am walking with God, He will put it in my heart. And the wisdom I have not read,
and the wisdom I have not experienced, God will give me that wisdom in my heart and help me to make the right decision with myself, with my marriage, with my family, with my friends, my co-workers, my enemies, my neighbors, whoever it may be. God will help us. So our prayer tonight as a church is asking the Lord to help us to be more aware of His presence every day. Will you pray with your pastor? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you right now in the power of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I feel your anointing. I feel your power in this place. Oh God, you have a desire for this teaching to come to pass in our hearts, that we will put the fear and respect of God in our lives, and that every day that we walk in this world, we will have a reverence for the presence of God, and we will seek you for your wisdom. We will seek you for your guidance. We will put your word in our heart that we sin not against you. Oh Lord, let the wisdom of God come upon us. Help us to seek after the wisdom of God in our decisions. Let us have an understanding of your presence about us, an awareness of your presence. Let it help us, oh God, to make godly and moral decisions in our life, to direct us and lead us in the path of wisdom. Oh Lord, turn our lives around that we might turn the lives of others around. Help us to deal with our brothers and sisters right. Help us to handle circumstances, God, your way, not our way. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Help us to do it your way, God. Help us to do it the way of wisdom is our prayer, oh Lord. And let's love Him together. Father, we love you. Lord, we praise you. We adore you. Put your wisdom in us, oh God. Saturate us with your power and your anointing. Walk with us, Lord. Hallelujah. We love you. We love you. We love you. We praise you tonight, oh God. We adore you tonight, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and say, who's that with you? Oh, that's God. Oh, that's the Lord. Find somebody else and say, my, you look a whole lot wiser. I love y'all. You're the greatest people in the world. God bless you. Remember prayer tomorrow night at 7 o'clock on the property. We finished that room. It's carpeted. It's nice. And we just wish more of you would try to make it to prayer. Come and be with us in prayer as we seek God for this weekend. Pastor will be ministering. Pray for Pastor. Let's believe God for a great move of the Lord. We've got some guests that are supposed to be with us that we've been inviting this Sunday. Let's see God do great things. I love you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. God bless you.